Your Sangha, in a few moments, Brother Fabnim and Sister Twangim will offer a few practices that will help us to fully enjoy the 5-day retreat deeply. It's like when we get on an airplane, they give you instructions about putting on your seatbelt, no smoking, and not to use any electronic equipment. And we're very lucky to have 5 days together, to practice together. It's very rare, and especially a Vietnamese-speaking retreat. And so we must value the time this time that we have together, and to use it wisely in order not to waste any part of it. And so during this whole retreat, we just practice and our mindful steps and our mindful breathing are the two most basic practices. Each time we move from one place to another, we apply the practice of mindful walking, meaning each step that we make, we must be aware that we are taking that step. When we breathe in, we can make 2 steps or 3 steps. And we can say silently to ourselves, I am home. I have arrived. I have arrived. And when we breathe out, we can take 3 steps and we say, I am home. I am home. I am home. Normally, the in-breath is shorter than the out-breath. So if the in-breath is 2 steps, the out-breath is usually 3 steps. And if the in-breath is 3 steps, then the out-breath is usually 5 steps. And we were going uphill, the number of steps decreases. It could be 1 breath, 1 in-breath for 1 step, and 1 out-breath for 2 steps. The issue is when we walk, we have to. We pay attention to our steps and our breathing. We stop the thinking. And this is the secret to our success, is to stop the thinking. And we only pay attention to our breathing and our steps. Breathing in, I take 1 step or 2 steps. And while I'm walking, while I'm stepping, we say to ourselves, I have arrived, I have arrived. Where have we arrived to? To the present moment. The present moment is where life is available, because the past is already gone and the future is not yet here. And normally our mind is pulled away by the past or the future. And we're not capable of dwelling in the present moment. And we do not live deeply the present moment. We lose the present moment. We lose our life in each moment. And so our basic practice is that each step, each breath brings us back to the present moment, so that we can become a person with more freedom. We're free from our worries, our anxieties, from our regrets about the past, and our worries and our anxieties of the future. So each breath, each step brings us freedom. Freedom from what? Here is freedom from our worries, our regrets of the past, our fear and our anxiety about the future. And there is freedom. And once we're able to come back to the present moment, we can live deeply the present moment. Otherwise, we waste our lives away, and it's just full of worries and anxieties. So our basic practice is to use our breath, use our step, to come back to the present moment, to be present in the here and now, and to come in contact with the wonders of life that are available within and around us. the Pure Land is available. And if we are not capable of coming back to the present moment, the Pure Land is not available to us. The wonders of life are not available to us. The trees, the clouds, the sky, they're not available to us if we're pulled away by the past or the future. So our basic practice is that when we walk from one place to another, from our room to the bathroom or to the meditation hall, we're determined that each step is taken in the present moment. Do not step into the past or into the future. And our breathing will support us. And we have gata to use. I have arrived. I have arrived. I am home. I am home. I have arrived to life. I've been running my whole entire life, and I don't want to run anymore. I want to stop. I want to live the present moment deeply. That's what I have arrived means. And our Western friends, they practice very well. I have arrived. I am home. When we know that we have arrived, that we are home, we have no reason to keep running. We have been running all our lives. Even on our dreams, we run. We're looking for something. Our whole entire lives, we've been searching for something. And so, to stop, this is the practice, to stop and to come in contact with the wonders of life that are available in the present moment. That is a basic practice. And when we see a brother or a sister who is walking, we know that that brother or sister is walking like that. And when we see a lay friend is practicing walking, we know that that person is dwelling in the present moment. That person is free. He is not being pulled away by the past or pulled away by his fears and anxieties about the future. And we can support the practice in the Sangha by walking like that, like them. And we become children of the Buddha, because that's how the Buddha walked. In the past, the monks and nuns who followed the Buddha, they walked like that in each step. And they went through many different countries. And so when we walk, we do not think. When we think too much, our brains get heated up. And it makes us dispersed. We can only touch peace, touch happiness. We can be in touch with our happiness. We can be in touch with our heart, our lungs. They're in good functioning condition. And we can feel. We have feelings, we have sensations, but we don't need thinking. So no thinking. This is the essential of meditation. And of course, no speaking. Because if we speak, if we talk, we don't have time to breathe, come back to our breathing, come back to our steps. We lose our breath, and we lose our steps. And so the brothers and sisters, when they walk, they do not think and they do not speak. For instance, when I was from my hut going to the big meditation hall, when I walked, I just walked. I did not think about what I would share to you tonight. When I walk, I simply just walk. When I speak, I speak. I just do one thing at a time. And so when we walk, we only walk. And we combine our breathing and our steps in such a way that there is peace, there's happiness. And we're in a very beautiful place. We're surrounded by the mountains. We're in this retreat where you have a chance to be with friends, among practitioners, with Tay. And that's a great happiness. We don't have to think about what's happening in the city, about what happened yesterday or tomorrow. Each breath and each step brings us back to the present moment so that we can live fully this retreat. Otherwise, it would be a big waste. And we should not talk too much. But this silence is called noble silence. This is not a heavy kind of silence. It's called noble silence. It's capable of nourishing us. For instance, when we sat together a few moments ago, we didn't have to speak, but that silence was very powerful and it was full of mindfulness. It has the capacity to nourish and heal us. And so in this retreat for all 5 days, we must keep this silence. When we have consultation, then we can ask questions or listen. And when we do Dharma discussion, we are requested to share, to speak. But everything that we say or speak about lies within the realm of the practice. And in this retreat, we do not talk about any personal things. We do not gossip. We do not speak about politics. It would be a waste. Because we only have this retreat once in a while, and to speak about all those things during this retreat, it was to ruin the retreat. So this is Tay's guidance for you in order to have a successful retreat. He wants a silent retreat. So Sister Twang Im and Brother Phat Nim will share with us a little bit more about how to fully enjoy this retreat. We only have 5 days together, and we'll practice in such a way that the retreat will be full of happiness, thanks to the energies of mindfulness and concentration and insight. Tomorrow morning, Tay will see you during the meditation here. Please, at the sound of the bell, we come back to our breathing. So, dear Tay, dear brothers and sisters, dear Sangha, tonight, myself and my sister, was invited by the organizing team to share with you about basic practices so that we can enjoy fully this retreat. But normally this retreat is very short, and I thought Tay will share the whole orientation. And so myself and my sister, we were not so prepared. We have not prepared anything. We did not discuss beforehand. But this retreat is called Opening the Heart. So we can speak from our heart. We can just share from our hearts. Perhaps you remember that the story of Mahakashyapa, when the Buddha, normally he comes and he gives the Dharma talk to his bhikshus. But that one day, the Buddha did not say anything. He simply held up a lotus and held it for a while. And in among the bhikkhus, according to the sutras, there was only one person who was able to understand the Buddha's message, and that was Mahakashyapa. I think there were more than one person. There may be quite a number of people among the audience who understood the Buddha. For instance, Shariputra or Mahamogha, but in the sutra, it only says that Mahakashyapa was the only one who smiled when the Buddha held up the lotus. And so we may think that, we may ask the question, why didn't others understand the message? Why didn't others see? And why was it only Mahakashyapa who understood? And when Mahakashyapa smiled, the Buddha said, there's one person who understands. And so he transmitted to Mahakashyapa the eye of the Dharma. Perhaps because he was able to stop. And he stopped all of his ideas, notions, and expectations. Usually when we enter a Dharma talk, we may think that, Tay might share this or that today. We have a preconceived notion. And when we come in and we sit down, we do not stop our thinking. We think about many things, and we don't allow our minds to calm down, to be able to come in contact with the reality that is presenting itself before us. And so our practice, meditation, there are two aspects of meditation. The first is to stop, and the second is to look deeply in order to understand the reality and to understand the pain and suffering that is happening in the present moment. And a while ago, Tay taught us how to walk, how to breathe, in order to help us stop our thinking, in order to help our body and minds be one, be at one, and to be truly present in the here and now. When our mind is able to stop, to calm down, and our body as well, there are energies, wonderful energies in our minds arises. In our consciousness, there are many seeds, and there are many capacities, the capacity to love, the capacity to look deeply, and the three energies that are basic in meditation is mindfulness, concentration, and insight. And insight is the result of concentration and mindfulness. When we want to understand something, we have to be able to stop and to focus on one object in order to understand. And when these three sources of energy, mindfulness, concentration, and energy, and insight are produced, it can help. They can help us to come in contact with our happiness as well as our suffering. And they can help us to recognize and embrace, calm down the fear, the habits, the tensions in our mind and in our body. So there are many ways that can help us to generate these three energies. And a while ago, we heard the practice of mindful breathing. Of course, all of us know how to breathe. We breathe every day. There's no day where we do not breathe. If we don't breathe, we die. But our way of breathing, the way that the Buddha teaches us to breathe, is that when we breathe in, we know that we are breathing in. When we breathe out, we know that we are breathing out. And the breathing is always happening in our body. But if we're not aware of it, what else can we be aware of? So the basic, first basic practice is to come back to our breathing. When we breathe in, we know we're breathing in. When we breathe out, we know we're breathing out. This is what the Buddha has taught us. And when we breathe naturally. We allow our breath to come naturally, and we do not force our breathing. However our in-breath is happening, short or long, or calm or frantic, we just become aware of our breathing, and we do not interfere with our breathing. And breathing out is the same. This is what we call mere recognition of our in-breath and our out-breath. We do not force our breathing to be like how we wish it to be, because the environment, our bodies, sometimes it's like this, sometimes it's like that, and our bodies are affected by the air, the environment around us. And so we do not wrestle with our breathing. We just simply follow our breathing, be aware of our breathing. And after a while, it will calm itself down. We don't have to do anything. And when we are panting, we know we're panting. When our breath is calm, we know that our breath is calm. When our breath is long, we know it's long. When it's short, we know it's short. This is called mere recognition of the breathing. And when we are truly present for our in-breath and our out-breath, then concentration, the energy of concentration is generated. Concentration is the capacity to focus on one thing. The more we are able to focus, the longer we are able to focus on that one thing, the more concentration we have. So it depends on us. And when we breathe like that, all of our thinking, everything else, it calms itself down. So we don't have to make efforts to calm our thinking or calm whatever it is that's happening in our body. And the only job that we are doing is to be present for our breathing, to pay attention to our breathing, and all else will calm itself down. This is the key to the practice. Just within the first breath, we can do this, we can accomplish this. So according to the practice of Plum Village that our teacher has shared with us, the breathing is applied to all of our activities throughout the day, not only when we sit, but when we walk as well. So each breath, we can take 2-3 steps. It depends on how long our breath is. So in this retreat, there's so many people, so we don't have an opportunity to practice slow walking meditation. There are two kinds of walking meditation. One is called slow walking meditation. We normally practice this in the meditation hall. And the other is walking outside. So in the meditation hall, sometimes we practice slow walking and one breath for one step. I have arrived for one in-breath, I am home, for one out-breath, to come back to the present moment, to arrive at the present moment, to be home in the present moment. To arrive means that we are no longer being pulled by the past or the future. We are truly established in the present moment, coming back to the present moment, and body and mind are at one. So this is the way we walk in the meditation hall. So here and now, when we take one step, we can say here. And another step, we can say now. The words here and now is reconfirming that we are here. We are present in the here and in the now. We are no longer running. So when we walk like that, we can say, Dear Te, Dear Buddha, I have arrived. I am home. I do not want to run anymore. So when we do walking meditation outside, perhaps for each breath, in breath, we can take 2 steps or 3 steps. So I have arrived, I have arrived. Arrived. Home, 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 home. Home. It depends on the length of your breath, the capacity of your lungs. The important thing is not how many steps you can take per breath, but the important thing is that when we step and when we breathe, it truly brings about peace, about happiness, joy while we are walking. And so Tay often shares with his Western friends, there's so much suffering in our lives already, and why does the practice have to bring about suffering too? So our practice is to be happy, to be at peace, right when we are practicing. So home, arrived, arrived, home, home. And after 3 or 5 minutes, we can say here, now. And we can maintain our practice like this. After a while, we will feel more solid. And we will feel that we're not being pulled away by our habit energies. We don't have to think things like, oh, it's so late right now, almost 10 o'clock. We haven't even been, you know, we're not back in our rooms yet. How can we get enough sleep for tomorrow? And so when we're stepping, our steps are here, but our minds are already back in our rooms. So that's not the correct practice. But if we can see that here is happiness and back in our room is also happiness, then we can fully enjoy each step that we make. And when we feel solid, we can call it by its true names. Solid, solid, free, free, free. And when we walk like that, we have no need to rush. We have a lot of time to walk. And walking meditation is not just what we do when we walk with Te during the formal walking meditation, but we practice this anywhere we walk to. Even when we are walking from the bedroom to the bathroom, or walking to the kitchen, walking to the meditation hall, we practice when we wake up in the morning. We think 5:45 is sitting meditation. I have to get there quick. And we think sitting meditation is the number one practice. All other practices are just minor practices. So we focus. We put so much importance on sitting meditation, and that we lose the time, the enjoyment of walking to the meditation hall. And we think that we can only calm our bodies and minds in the meditation hall. But in truth, we can already practice calming our body and mind on the way to the meditation hall. And our practice, there are other practices like listening to the bell. When we listen to the bell, we stop. We stop what we're doing, whether it's the activity bell or the bell in the meditation hall or the clock chiming in the dining hall. It chimes every 15 minutes, or the ringing of the telephone. All of these sounds of the bell are bells of mindfulness, awakening us, reminding us to come back to the present moment. And we breathe, come back to our breathing. We stop all our talking, our doing. And we come back, bring our minds back to our bodies. Breathing in, I listen, breathing out. The sound of this wonderful bell brings me back to my true home. And when we listen to the bell like that, we feel as if the Buddha is calling us, Te is calling us, the Sangha is calling us to come back and dwell in the present moment. And we can breathe in, seeing that I am still alive. Breathing out, I feel so happy. And we know that there are many of us, many people who have lung problems, and they're not able to breathe fully. But now our lungs are healthy, we can breathe healthy, take healthy breaths, and we're still alive. And there's no greater happiness than the happiness that we are still alive. And this is the happiness that we are often reminded of, the brothers and sisters as well as our lay friends. Te often reminds us that to know that we are alive is already an enlightenment. So we don't need to wait for enlightenment after 5-10 years of doing meditation. But to be aware that we are alive, that is an enlightenment. And we are enlightened. We know that we're walking. When we walk, we know we're walking. When we eat, we know we're eating. That is already enlightenment. And when we eat here, we don't eat and listen to the telephone or listen to the radio or watch TV. The other day at Google, when we saw the people eating there, so many people had their laptops in front of them, and while they're eating, they're like typing, eating, typing. So imagine a person like that. They're not so happy. How can you be happy when you don't even know what you're eating and you're being pulled away by all the informations on the internet? And the food that we eat, if there is stopping, if there we're able to dwell in the present moment, to be in touch deeply with the food, we know that the food is also a treasury that we can discover. A treasury of happiness that we can tap into. And the wonderful thing that the brothers and sisters were able to learn is that in the present moment, there's a whole treasury of happiness. And if we can come back, we can recognize all the conditions of happiness that we have. So when we look at our food, we look at it deeply, and not to be dispersed by our worries, our anxieties, by our fears, our anxieties. We can recognize the whole cosmos is present in the plate of food in front of us, from the farmers to the animals, to the brothers and sisters who have put out energy to cook this lunch for us, this meal for us. So when we come in contact with these things, we come in contact with a source of happiness. So eating is not just to be full, but it is to come in contact with our happiness. And when we are happy, we can offer this happiness to those around us. When we are happy, for sure, our ancestors are also happy. So when we eat, we chew our food. When we listen to the sound that is invited outside, telling us that it's lunch or breakfast or dinner, we can go immediately to line up. Do not think that, the line's so long, I'll wait for half an hour. Because while we're waiting, we can also be happy. Because even though we're at the end of the line, we sometimes, our eyes look ahead and thinking, you know, oh, the food is almost out, etc., etc. So there's not so much happiness standing in line like that. So when we are standing in line, we just come back to our breathing. We offer our presence to the friends who are practicing all around us. And we don't have to worry that the food will run out. The brothers and sisters will not let us starve. So just take our time and serve ourselves. And when we are done serving ourselves, we can find a place inside or somewhere outside the dining hall. And there will be a brother or a sister or a lay friend who will invite three sounds of the bell and recite the five contemplations to help us to fully enjoy our meal. And when we begin to eat, we pick up, spoon up, take one spoon of food and put it in our mouths, and we do not put in our mouths our projects, our worries and anxieties. When we chew also, we do not chew our worries or our anxieties either. If we chew beans, we make sure we're chewing beans and not the other thing. Because sometimes when we're eating, we're chewing our food, but our mind, we're chewing other things. And those two things don't go hand in hand. So when we are chewing on our worries and our anxieties, all of the chemicals that are being secreted while we are chewing our food, it becomes toxic. All of the chemicals secreted while we're worried or chewing on our worries or our anxieties is not very healthy. So when we are eating, we must have the capacity to let go of our worries about the past or anxieties of the future in order to be truly there and to fully enjoy our meal. And eating like that allows us to come in contact with all of the beauties, all of the wonders of life. And it can also help us to give rise to gratitude to all those who have helped to bring this food to us, the farmers, the workers, etc. And eating like that within 20, 30 minutes, there's a lot of happiness, also a lot of freedom. So eating is a very deep practice. From listening to the bell, to walking, to sitting, to eating. So our practice is continuous. We are continuously generating the energies of mindfulness, concentration, and insight. When there's mindfulness, concentration, there an insight arises. So when we practice, we cannot just say, oh, I do sitting meditation, that's not enough. Our practice must be continuous. And one of the practices of Plum Village is to make our practice continuous. So no matter what we do throughout the day or what activities we engage in, we apply the practices of mindfulness. And only then will we be able to generate enough energy, enough power in order to break through to our habit energies, break through our fears, anxieties, etc. So I just wanted to share a little bit like that. I'd like to invite Sister Twang Im to continue. Dear Tay, dear Venerables, dear brothers and sisters, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews. That's a Vietnamese way of addressing. You have to call them by their relationship. So it's been quite a while since I had the opportunity to sit here and to share the practice with you. I have met many of you, you're very familiar. Perhaps I've seen you a few decades ago. And today I met with a few people from Texas, a few from Stockton. So in the Sangha among us, there are people from everywhere. And there are those among you who are here for the first time. Please raise your hands if you're here for the first time. Thank you. I would like to go over a few basic practices that we need to know so that in the next few days here, you don't feel lost. The most of us, we just follow what the other people do. And even if they do wrong, we do the same thing. We just mimic. Or sometimes we're just doing it and we don't know what it means. And so we have the feeling that we're just doing things mechanically. And when we go home and people ask us about the practice, we can describe with a lot of joy, you know, what we did here. But when they ask us what it's for, then we can't answer them. So Brother Pháp Niệm has shared about the practices of arriving, coming home to the present moment, and how to be happy. So I would like to share about a few practices. One of the things that we often encounter is that we want to practice noble silence, but the Vietnamese people, when we see each other, everyone knows it's so difficult to refrain from talking. And even myself, when I see someone that I know, I have to greet them and talk to them a few lines. And we can ask each other how we're doing. But like Tay said, don't engage in too much conversation or gossip. And if we take our time to ask about all of our relations, all of our ancestors, etc., we probably won't have time. And it's probably not appropriate. So here in the monastery, we're asked to keep silent in the morning. And we want to keep the morning in silence so that when we go into the meditation hall, it's easy to practice sitting meditation. So even when we see each other on the way to the meditation hall or in the bathrooms or in the restrooms, the best way to engage in conversation with each other is to just simply join your palms and bow to each other. And because sometimes when we smile, we give a half smile, because if we do it too seriously, they might wonder what's wrong. And we don't have to bow to each other to greet each other like that and then start conversation. We just simply join our palms and bow each to each other in greeting, and that's our whole conversation. So we keep our silence in the morning, and on our way to the meditation hall in the morning, we perhaps we like to go in groups or go with our friends, but we can go with each other, but please do not engage in conversation on the way to the meditation hall. Or sometimes we're like, hurry, hurry, we're going to miss the sitting meditation, etc. We don't have to remind each other like that. We just simply walk down in silence. So after our breakfast, then we end noble silence. Our friends, our Vietnamese friends, over the years, we are getting better at practicing noble silence. In the beginning, it wasn't so easy, but now in later years, it's becoming more and more powerful. One of the things that I would like to, that I had reminded you is that when we bow to each other, then we make sure that we smile to each other. Because sometimes when we look too serious, the other person might interpret it as something else, and then all kinds of wrong perceptions come about. So please remember to smile. And also, while we are doing walking meditation, some people are so focused on their steps that their face becomes so serious. And sometimes for those who have not entered the practice, they don't know anything about the practice. They see us walking that seriously. They often ask us, what's wrong? Where are you going to? What's on your mind? So when we do walking meditation well, we feel more light. We feel at ease. We feel more joyful. We feel more happy. And our face should be able to express this. So try not to be so serious when you are practicing walking meditation. And for myself, I'm aging. So sometimes when I look in the mirror and I'm not paying attention, I see that I'm frowning, have a tendency to frown. And so please keep the half smile. This will benefit for your mind and also your body. Some people say that Tay, all he teaches is breathing and walking. And I already know about all this. And to tell you the truth, it's easy. We think we know, but it's more difficult to practice. So these next few days that we are together, we don't have to worry about cooking or cleaning. Other people are doing it for us. We don't have to worry about so much. So please try your best to relax so that when we come home, we feel more light, feel more relaxed, more happy. So that's like an advertisement for others to attend retreats, because if they see you again and you're still the same, they're like, that retreat made her no difference. So here, when in our monastery, after we eat our meals, then we wash our own dishes. In other temples, etc., after the meal, people just pile dishes on wherever the dishwashing place is. And sometimes only one person is washing this whole pile of dishes. And after a while of washing, then they feel a bit not so well. Like after you eat and you have to do one whole hour of dishwashing, it's not very kind. So our practice here is that after we eat our meals, we do our own dishes. And while we are lining up to wait to wash our dishes, we can test ourselves to see if we're able to stand in line, if we're able to come back to the present moment and to enjoy our breathing, our being there. Some people say, I'm too busy, I have no time to practice. And washing dishes is something that we do every day. So how can we use the time of washing dishes to produce a moment of joy, a moment of happiness for ourselves. So when we are in line to wait to wash our dishes, we can also practice. We don't have to say, oh my God, this line is so long. I just have one dish, one plate to wash, and you know, my legs are about to give out waiting in line. So when we wash our dishes, we wash with all of our body, all of our mind, and washing a plate like that, we see that this is something that's worthy to do. This is something that we are doing with all of our heart, with all of our awareness. And when we do things like that, we see that that time is, it becomes a moment of happiness. So please line up, wash your dishes, and then move on so that the pot washing crew can do their job. Sometimes when we are doing our dishes and we look at the water and we're like, oh my goodness, the water is so dirty, I have to go change this and help the pot washing team, etc. So when you are washing the dishes, just focus on washing your dishes. Do your best in to wash your dishes and let others take care of other aspects. Your job is to just do it with all of your heart. So while washing dishes, that is also a noble silence time. Sometimes we'd want to be courteous to each other, and then we offer to wash other people's dishes, and we're like, oh, let me do your dishes, let me do your dishes. And if everyone engages in conversation that way, then the washing area is no longer an area of noble silence. So the brothers and sisters will walk around and occasionally remind us of our practice. And we have a lot of habit energies. It's very difficult to transform within a few days. So I just warn you that we will go around and remind you of the practice. So please do not be offended when we do. In this retreat, then we are all divided into families. So some of us are in the vegetable cutting teams. Some of us are in the pot washing teams, and you will be working with the brothers and sisters or staff. And when we work, we also limit our conversations. Of course, we have to exchange a few words while we're working to describe the work or to make the work flow, but we don't engage in gossip or other kinds of conversations. We try our best to just bring our minds back to our bodies while we're working. And in the old days, our ancestors have become enlightened just cleaning toilets. And so who knows, while you're watching, while you're cutting the carrots, you might become enlightened. It depends on how focused you are, how present you are. One of our other practices also is to listen to the Dharma talk. And when we come into the hall, once we have found a seat, we can enjoy our silence, relax, and find a comfortable position in order to prepare ourselves to listen to the Dharma talk. So I'd like to remind everyone that to please do not bring your cell phones into the meditation hall. Or if you should bring it with you, please turn it off. Or if you do not turn it off, please leave it on vibrating mode or silent mode. And we also encourage you not to use your laptops. Only if you your work absolutely requires, and perhaps you can find an appropriate time to use it. But we encourage everyone to refrain as much as you can from using electronic devices. And Also, for those of you who smoke, we also ask you not to smoke in the monastery. And if you absolutely cannot stand it, and you must have your smoke, please do so in extreme caution and mindfulness, because the mountains here, it can catch fire so easily. So if you should need a smoke, please be careful. So coming back to the Dharma talks, when we listen to the Dharma talks, please do not bring our comparing minds out to listen to the Dharma talks. Oh, or this, I know this. Or the other day, Tay had said it in a different way, etc. So all of these comparisons, they're not beneficial, because we have so many recorded Dharma talks of Tay, and you can compare at a different time if you wish. But you're here now, and please allow the Dharma talk to penetrate into you, the words to penetrate into you. And our stored consciousness will do the work of processing. And one day, some understanding will bloom out of that listening. And when we listen, we just allow the words to come in, to water the seeds in our stored consciousness. And when we are listening to the Dharma talk, if we feel happy, if we feel joyful, at peace, it's because all those seeds were watered during the Dharma talk. And if we are listening with a comparing mind, analytical mind, it's like we're covering our minds, our consciousness with a layer of nylon. We're not allowing the rain of the Dharma to penetrate into our minds. So please, when we enter the meditation hall, please let go of all of your notions, all of your knowledge and your know-how, etc. And to just be here, come back to your breathing and to be present, to receive the Dharma talk. And we don't have to be so, we don't have to strain ourselves to listen. And I know many of us, we listen, are capable of watching like the novellas for hours and hours on end. But for a two-hour Dharma talk, we tend to strain in order to listen. So if you should feel uncomfortable at one time in the Dharma talk, then please... try to relax when you're listening to the Dharma talk. And there are those of us also who, as they're listening to the Dharma talk, the more they listen, the more they cough. And it's because perhaps you're too tense when you're listening to the Dharma talk. So please try your best to relax. So in the beginning, like I shared, if you are so new, you can just observe what others are doing and then follow. So sitting meditation, we have sitting meditation here tomorrow morning. And if you have any questions about how to practice sitting meditation, your Dharma discussion leaders will share with you techniques concerning sitting meditation. But our time is limited tonight. We'd like to get back to our rooms to rest early so that we can be fresh for tomorrow morning sitting meditation. So the roads in Deer Park is very beautiful, but it's also very hilly. And if you want to avoid the walking, rushing to the meditation hall, please give yourselves some time, some extra time in order to make your way to the meditation hall, like from the Brothers Hamlet to the meditation hall. Allow yourself at least 10 minutes or even more time if you want to walk more leisurely. And so We don't want to rush when we go to the meditation hall. And when we get here, we're already like winded. And especially for those of us who are older in age, please allow yourselves even more time in order to make it to the meditation hall so that you can walk in with ease and with more stability. And please use a flashlight at night times or when it's dark when you walk. In the early morning when you walk to the meditation hall, the best thing is to have a flashlight, please. And sometimes the snakes or other animals are in our on the roads, so if you have a flashlight, that's better. Normally when they hear your footsteps, they have a tendency to avoid us already. But just to be cautious, please bring your flashlights. So Brother Phapnim is reminding us that in the morning and in the evening, we have the big great bell being invited. And if we stand in one place and enjoy the bell, then we may be late for the activity. So when we listen to the great bell, we can just come back to our breathing, enjoy the present moment, and enjoy our breathing for three in and out breaths or for three sounds of the bell. And then we can continue with what we are doing and continue with moving to the place of activity. So many of us have practiced before, so this is an opportunity for us to renew our practice and to generate and strengthen the energies of mindfulness, concentration, and insight. And for those of us who are new, the practice is not so something so difficult to do. But if you have any questions, then you have your Dharma discussion leaders, and you can always approach them. And they are responsible for taking care of your family. So please approach them and ask your questions. So thank you for listening. I don't know if the organizing team has any announcements to make.